discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
120,000 wristbands recently made quite a splash in the ongoing debate over where we come from as human beings. The brand new Genesis Apologetics Ministry, whose stated goal is to help public school students debunk evolution, bought 120,000 gel wristbands bearing the label Debunk Evolution, with a web address with resources on origins. It was the beginning of a remarkable saga that grabbed national headlines. We'll explore that story today on the road and dig into Genesis Apologetics' Debunking Evolution Project with the director of this bold effort, Mr. Pat Roy. While working for the Institute for Creation Research, Pat saw the impact of an evolutionary worldview on the families of our society. He's the creator of the Jonathan Park Audio Adventures, served at the Institute for Creation Research for 12 years, and now serves as director for Genesis Apologetics and Creation Quest. His passion is to reach families with the message that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you for being here, Pat. It's great to have you.
Ryan, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited about our conversation together here.
Well, we are excited as well in equal measure, Pat, and I just thought this story was nothing short of epic. If you could just take us back to your vision for these wristbands, how did you settle on that idea, and what were you hoping to accomplish?
Well, you know, Dr. Dan Biddle is the president of Genesis Apologetics, and he wants to get this website out, debunkevolution.com. On that website, we've got 12 videos that actually go through and debunk the 12 main tenets of evolution being taught in public school textbooks. And so he wanted to get the web address out there. So he came up with the idea of these wristbands. Ryan, I've got to shoot straight with you. At first, I wasn't so sold on the wristband idea, but Dr. Biddle was.
Sure.
And he bought 120,000 of them. And it turns out that the CEO of the company, the wristband company, was actually an evolutionist. And he felt bad that he had done something as horrible as helping a creation ministry out. So what he decided to do was take $4,000 of the money that we paid him and actually give it to the National Center for Science Education, which is an organization that's dedicated to, basically wiping out creationism. So it's really kind of amazing that he took the money that we were trying to use to promote creation and gave the money to an organization to promote evolution. It was funny. Ryan, Dr. Biddle gives me a call and he says, "Pat, it's horrible. I can't believe what just happened. They just took the money that we paid and now they're promoting evolution with it." And I said, "Dr. Biddle, God is so good, he's going to turn this around." And Ryan, I've got to tell you, God is so amazing. He takes things like this. He takes what's usually meant for bad and turns it into something meant for good, because as a direct result of that news story that made national headlines, I've been able to go on all kinds of radio and TV stations, and we've given away thousands and thousands and thousands of these wristbands is a direct result of this guy giving the money to an evolutionary organization.
Well, and I know just for myself, I remember seeing the headlines too when the story was breaking, and it was so great to hear from you guys and to just see the incredible notoriety, I guess is the way to say it, but of course the great news about Jesus having the hand that he has had in our origins and where we come from. I wonder, did you have any idea when you started into that process that was even a remote possibility, that the vendor might have some beliefs of that nature and that this was even remotely possible?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, you know, you buy wristbands from somebody and you don't realize that they're going to actually get involved in trying to debunk why you're buying the wristbands for, right? I mean, No, we had absolutely no clue. And what's interesting is the way the article is written, it makes it sound like he was almost remorseful for the fact that he had helped a creation organization. So to ease his conscience, he wanted to do something more noble. And the most noble thing he could think of was using part of that money to go towards evolutionists. So it's really kind of funny. It reminds me of the verse, I believe it's in Isaiah, that says that they'll call evil good and good evil. So it's really funny to me that he felt horrible about helping creationists. And the way to relieve his conscience was to take some of the money and give it to an evolutionary organization. To me, that just kind of cracks me up a little bit.
This article that you reference, I was struck by how this story is recapped by the National Center for Science Education, which, of course, is the organization that the creator of your wristbands donated to. And I read this write-up that you mentioned, and I couldn't help but notice this line. If you'll pardon me, I'll just read the whole thing. NCSE defends the integrity of science education against ideological interference. We work with teachers, parents, scientists, and concerned citizens at the local, state, and national levels to ensure that topics like evolution and climate change are taught accurately, honestly, and confidently, end quote. And what intrigued me, Pat, was the declaration that the group exists to demand that science education be purely about science and research, and yet, of course, simultaneously spends its time demanding that any potential research that could run counter to macroevolution is silenced. As someone who has spent years in this debate, what do you attribute that seeming irony to? Why can no opposition be brooked to this worldview?
You know, I would love to read just a Bible passage to answer your question of why this happens. Romans chapter 1 is a great creation verse, and starting in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." So, Ryan, what is that saying? It's saying, wow, they know about the Creator. Mm. There's more than enough to convince people that the Creator exists, right? It's showed to them, but yet they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and they deny God, and it says that they're without excuse. So, Ryan, that means that the unbeliever already knows that, and so when things happen like with this whole wristband deal, and people are attacking, and they're not seeing the evidence, it's because of what Romans says, is that they actually know the truth. They know there's a God deep down in their heart. And then verse 21, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Verse 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible to man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Wow, boy, that's from the headlines, right? Verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Wow, so they start to serve the creature more than the Creator. Wow, so when it comes to things like the environment and environmentalism, we've got to worship creation,
right,
but we can't worship the Creator, right? What happens when a boy falls into an ape enclosure in a zoo, and they've got to shoot the ape, and then they're trying to decide whose life is more valuable, right?
Man.
It pops right off of the scriptures, right into the headlines. And if you go on and read in Romans chapter 1, it goes into a whole list of just horrible sins that take place as a result of that. And Ryan, when I read that, it sounds like what's going on in America right now. It sounds like what's going on with our young students. And so I read that and go, wow, it all started with denying the Creator, suppressing the truth, denying that God exists, right? And then starting to worship the creation instead of the Creator. And that is exactly what we see going on right before our eyes right now.
Man, that is some profound stuff from Pat Roy, who's director of Genesis Apologetics, joining us here today on the road for Faith Radio. And I'm Ryan Thomas. That's a very compelling case that you make. At the same time, there is still the manifest irony just from the logical standpoint, right? That science is supposed to be this study of facts and figures and processes only. And yet any single a statistic or study or discovery that could possibly contradict evolution has to be glossed over or really just pushed away. I mean, how do the scientists that you come into contact with and that you dialogue with, how do they defend that behavior on their side of the aisle? Or do they even really recognize that that's what's happening?
Well, yeah, I think just like it's saying in Romans there, I think it really becomes a justification, right? Because the real reason that they're suppressing the truth and saying that there is no God is so that they're not accountable to a God. And so once they do that, then morality is out the door, right? It doesn't matter. There is no black and white. There's no foundation for morality. And because of that, man becomes the ultimate authority, right? And man can do whatever he wants. And I think that that's probably the real battle. And I think that that's kind of what Romans 1 is telling us, is that once you suppress the truth and deny the Creator, then we get to do anything we want. And I think that's what we see happening in our world right now. And when it comes to science, really what they're doing is they're using science to justify their actions, right?
Yeah, sure.
If there is no God, if evolution's true, if nobody made us, if we're the pinnacle of evolution, if we're the ones that are in charge of all of this, all of a sudden it excuses all of our actions, right? So I really think that that's kind of what's driving it.
The conclusion is already in place, and so only the facts that lead us to the only acceptable conclusion will be allowed.
Right, exactly. And so you can't accept anything supernatural, right? And now what's funny is, Ryan, you saw our spot that we made for the Debunking Evolution series that we did with the young lady in the classroom.
Yes.
So we had so much fun putting together that promo. And again, that's to promote the debunkevolution.com website. And basically, Ryan, I call that the creationist dream. We've got a classroom full of students, and the teacher is kind of harassing them a little bit and saying, hey, we only believe in evidence here. We don't want to bring faith into the classroom. And so basically the girl says, well, sir, that's what's missing. And he says, what's missing? And she says, the evidence. And he goes, well, tell me what you mean by that. And then what we do in the spot is point out that that their faith is based on a blind faith, that there's things that they have to believe in faith. And these are some of the things. If you go to debunkevolution.com and just watch the first video on there, the girl starts off by saying things like, you believe that nothing became everything. You believe that gas clouds, instead of dissipating, collapsed down into stars. You believe that one of those stars happened to be our sun. You believe that by planets crashing or debris crashing into one another, that it created planet Earth just the right distance from the sun for life to exist. You believe that water was there that could exist in the three states needed for life to exist. You believe that that first life, that non-living materials became a living being. You believe that that first living being somehow had the ability to replicate. And then you believe that through mutations, which usually lose information, and natural selection that can only choose from what's already there, that process is what created the entire genome to create complex human beings. So, Ryan, when you think about it, they believe a lot of things in blind faith. And so when it comes down to it, evolution is actually just a religion.
That is the voice of Pat Roy, the director of Genesis Apologetics, as he joins us today on The Road. Pat, if I could just step back for a moment and put to you perhaps the fundamental question when it comes to origins and how we talk about them. Why, Pat, is the origins debate something that deserves to continue to be engaged with as Christians? I mean, there are so many ideological battles that we fight in 2016. Why does it still matter where we come from?
Well, Ryan, I'm glad that you asked that, because I've got to tell you honestly, in my personal ministry and also with Genesis Apologetics, we have Christians all the time that are saying, hey, this is a divisive issue, we shouldn't get into this. Or they say that, it just really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, I sat in a coffee shop with a youth director talking to him about how important this was for him to teach his youth. And he basically told me, hey, Pat, this is just a side issue. Listen, we've got to focus on Christ. Well, you know, Christ is the centerpiece of all history. Absolutely true. But listen, I just read to you from Romans chapter 1, where it talked about how denying the Creator led to the collapse of society. Okay, so I think it's very key. Some of the other things we read in Romans there was that they worship the creation instead of the Creator. Boy, don't we see that happening all around us right now?
Yeah.
We have all kinds of people that are saying that the most noble thing that young people can do is sort their trash. That they've got to take care of the world, right?
Right.
I mean, also that devalues human life, right? What's more important? We've had some evolutionists say that the life of an ant or my son both have equal value. Listen, Ryan, I think we face some incredibly major challenges over the next few years. especially here in our country. And I think you can trace those directly back to the whole view of who the creator is, whether God is really the one who created. If he created, he's in charge. He's the one who makes the rules, and we're the ones that have to follow what he says. It also goes back to where we belong in creation. Where do we belong? Are we just an evolved animal, or are we more than that? What does it mean to be made in God's image? Ryan, as I travel around and talk to youth groups, a lot of times when I ask that question, students don't even know how to answer that question.
Sure.
What does it mean to be made in God's image? So, listen, I think this is probably one of the key battles of our time.
Well, it's a very gripping way that you describe it, and I couldn't help but think as I watched the commercial that you've described, and if you have a chance to see this commercial, it is a very, very compelling piece. 3 minutes, as you said. And Pat, once again, if you could just mention the website where people can go and see it.
Yeah, and again, let me tell you what's on there. We have basically taken the textbooks. We've gone through and looked at all of the evolutionary teaching that's taking place in public school textbooks. We identified 12 basic evolutionary tenets of evolution that they're teaching these students. And so we went back and wrote a book that debunked all 12 of those. We put together a student guide. And then we said, well, you know, probably a student's not going to read the big old thick book that we wrote. But so then we went back and made 12 videos. And each one of those videos is about 8 to 12 minutes long. And it debunks one of those 12 tenets. And all of that stuff is available for free download. It doesn't cost anything. We also put together some online classes that are based on the videos. Those also don't cost anything. So if you go to debunkevolution.com, you can find all of that for free.
Okay.
And Ryan, the other thing I should probably mention too is we started off by talking about the wristbands. Listen, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of wristbands left. And basically those wristbands just say debunkevolution.com. We're trying to distribute as many of those as we can to as many students as we can so that when this next school year starts, students are already equipped to face what they're going to hear in class. So if there's anybody out there in the audience that would like to hand out those wristbands, we'll send them to you. We'll send as many as you think you can use. We're not selling them, and we don't even charge for shipping. So if you come to debunkevolution.com and just ask for the wristbands, let us know how many you want, and we'll just ship them out to you.
Perfect. Perfect. You know, I can recall my high school science class, freshman year, stepping into the class, and I went in there with an extremely smart, really bright guy who is the teacher. Mr. Bear was his name. I have tremendous respect for him. But he was a committed evolutionist, and I went in there thinking, boy, I know what I believe as a young person of faith. I know that creation is true. But I'll tell you what, Pat, I mean, he was able to throw so many numbers and ages of things and, you know, different things from the Mesozoic era at me that it wasn't that I questioned my faith or what I believed, but I came out of there totally shaken in my ability to persuasively articulate what I believed. And I wonder, is that a similar situation to where you find many young people of faith today?
Absolutely. That is exactly it. Matter of fact, since we began this project, I have been interviewing all kinds of high school students. I've been going to different conventions and different events and getting a chance to talk to these students. And I'm finding out that this is a really common thing. Now, listen, there's some great Christian teachers out there. And there's some teachers that are trying to be as fair as they can. But I'm hearing more and more stories about teachers that are basically saying things at the start of the class like, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand.
Yep.
Okay, by the time the semester is done, you'll no longer be raising your hand. I hear that kind of story all the time. So listen, here's what I'm starting to learn more and more, is that most students like yourself don't feel equipped to take on their professor and to try and debate them in class. Matter of fact, that's the thing I hear all the time from students is, boy, I just don't know how I could ever learn enough to actually stand up to him and debate him or her. And so here's what I'm beginning to realize, and here's what we're encouraging students to do, is just ask questions. I've learned that this is such a powerful tool. You know, Jesus himself asked questions all the time.
Yes.
And it was just a powerful thing that he did. And so here's what I'm learning based on just talking to different students. a lot of times a teacher will start talking about evolution, and most Christians will just stay absolutely quiet because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to debate the teacher. So they all just sit quietly, and it almost gives the teacher a godlike power to tell the fact, quote unquote, of evolution, and the students just sit quiet. But what I've heard from a lot of students is if just one student will stand up and not stand up, but if one student will just ask just one question, all of a sudden it changes the whole dynamics of the classroom to where other kids feel like they can start asking questions. And then all of a sudden the rest of the classroom begins to realize that this person doesn't know everything. So here's my suggestion is if you're a student in high school or maybe college or even junior high, or if you're a parent and you would like to equip your students, I would really encourage you to go to the debunkevolution.com website. Just watch the videos. And then here's what they can do, Ryan. Instead of getting a PhD so they can debate their teacher, they can just ask questions. And here's some great ones. Here would be a great one. If they're talking about evolution, you can just raise your hand and just politely, always politely, and as a Christian, right? We want to have a great Christian witness.
Sure.
We don't want to undermine them. We don't want to make them look stupid. We don't want to do any of that. We want to be respectful. But you could respectfully ask the question, sir, could you tell me how non-living materials became alive? How did life, and then the teacher's got to answer that, right?
Yeah.
Now, my experience is that I have never had an evolutionist give me a good answer to that, ever.
Yeah.
Whenever they try and explain that, as they're explaining, usually they start to realize how ridiculous it sounds as they're explaining. You can ask other questions. And again, here's what I encourage students to do is honestly ask questions that you're really wondering. Sir, you said that dinosaurs became birds. Well, how did the scales become feathers? How did the dinosaurs learn to fly? Did one jump off a cliff and then the next one made it a little further? And then the next, how did that? And, you know, don't be snarky, but just ask honest questions. I mean, I think if students just ask questions, and then a lot of them are scared that the teacher is going to turn on them and turn it into a debate. And I think a great way to go with that is if they try and do that, I think a good question is to say, hey, listen, I'm not here to debate you. I'm just here as a student, and I was just hoping you could answer my questions.
That's brilliant.
And then let the professor, and I think when that happens, I think it almost kind of breaks the magic spell they have, and I think the rest of the students go, oh, wow, my teacher doesn't know everything. He didn't know how to answer that question. Or they listen to the answer and go, well, boy, that didn't make very much sense. And then all of a sudden, I think it releases the classroom feeling like they have to buy everything the guy's saying.
It also seems, just as I'm listening to it and imagining it in my head, it also seems like it might be a way to navigate the waters of some of the peer pressure that I think Christian students can have in that scenario. All of our friends are there. This is a time of life where we're not exactly in the most secure scenario that we're ever going to be. But if you're asking questions, it's a lot different than getting up and like you say, trying to give a speech of some kind.
Yeah, exactly. And if you get into a debate with the professor, usually a lot of times that will turn disrespectful, right? So as Christians, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to respect our authority. And so you don't want to dishonor the teacher. And then you're right. And then if you get into this major deep debate, well, then if you've got a teacher that really knows their stuff, you may get in over your head right away, and then you're in trouble, right? But if you just ask questions, and honestly, isn't that what an education is supposed to be anyway?
Well said. Well said. Pat Roy, the director of Genesis Apologetics. What a great conversation this has been, Pat. Thank you so much for your wisdom. And I anticipated that it would go briskly, and certainly it has. But as we say farewell here with just about a minute left, I want to give you a chance once again to name check the website and talk a little bit about what people can find there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so important. You know, Ryan, 90% of Christian parents send their students to public school. A lot of times those students are learning evolution. If they're going to public school, they are going to learn evolution. I think a lot of parents don't even realize that. You know, your kids come home from school a lot of times and you say, how was your day? And the answer is fine. Listen, parents, check in. They need you. They need you to be involved. And, you know, a great way to equip them for this particular battle is just to go to debunkevolution.com. The videos, again, they're short. We tried to make them funny and entertaining. We tried to hit the highlights of what's wrong with evolution. And I truly believe that if a student watches those 12 videos, they'll have a great overview of what's wrong with evolution. So parents, I just want to encourage you to engage and really make sure that your students are equipped for the battle. You know, Ryan, more than half of students will reject their faith by the time they're done with college. More than half. Parents, I just encourage you to stand in the gap there. Don't let it be your students.
Well, Pat, it's been a real pleasure and very refreshing, revitalizing, I think, intellectually and spiritually to talk with you today, sir. So thank you for your time, and we wish you the best as you go forward in this great work.
Well, God bless you, too. Thank you for your work, and I appreciate that you are also taking a stand for truth.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.